Eternal God, from whom to turn is to fall, and in whom to abide is to stand fast forever. We thank thee for the grace and truth manifested in Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I should like to read verses 7 and 8 of the third chapter of Philippians. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. In the convocation lectures, we were reminded that we live in a secularist age, that we are participant observers of a conflict between the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God, and that we have an opportunity to devote our energy to the gospel, the fellowship, and the service, which are essential elements of Christian evangelism. At this moment, I should like to draw attention to one of the primary purposes of theological education. We are here to seek a deeper knowledge of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. There is a wistfulness, a longing in our hearts, as Paul said, to know Him. I trust that everyone has brought to the first classes and into the chapel the hope that I may know Him. And I trust that we are ready, as Paul was, to subordinate everything to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. The priceless privilege, the supreme value, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. If we keep this in the front of our thought, we shall have adequate inward motivation for the work and for the worship this year. There are three simple ideas I should like to express about this primary purpose of theological education. Let me say, first of all, that we place high value upon knowledge. We inquire in the temple. We know that knowledge is power. And we think that it can be used as an instrument of righteousness. Accordingly, we employ sound principles of research. We recognize the importance of systematic and thorough study. We have great respect for the learning process. And we work hard in spite of adversities, to provide conditions favorable to effective teaching on this campus. In the second place, we place highest value upon knowledge of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. This is what has surpassing worth. This is the high privilege. This is the supreme value, that we might know Him and love Him and His people and serve Him. On this campus, every person is encouraged to think, to use his mind in the interest of the kingdom of God. This means that our thinking is related to a center, and that center is God's work in Jesus Christ. We have, as Weymouth translates Paul's words, the priceless privilege of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I'm sure that no one of us has any intention of placing any obstacle in the way of a brother who seeks to know God in Jesus Christ. Insofar as possible, we remove ourselves from the center of attention in order that our minds may be concerned with God's act of grace in Jesus Christ and with the communication of the good news that God is love, that He really came in Jesus to visit and to redeem His people, and that He is creatively and redemptively at work in the world today. We cannot concentrate our minds upon God's act and upon the communication of the good news if we keep ourselves at the center. Jesus Christ is the center. And the third thing I want to say about this fundamental purpose of theological education is that we participate in dialogue, but we remember that there is a place in dialogue for the affirmation of the Christian faith and for the explication of the Christian way of life. In 1954, at Heidelberg, Martin Buber published a profound analysis of the nature of dialogue, in which he said very clearly that the basic presupposition of genuine dialogue is not that partners in the process agree at the outset to eliminate or to conceal their personal convictions, but that they accept each other as persons to be respected and to be trusted. This is the fundamental principle in dialogue. We begin by accepting each other as persons to be respected and to be trusted. In order to carry on dialogue with a person at a deep level of understanding, we do not demand or expect him to agree with all that we say, But we trust him enough to open our minds to him, to listen thoughtfully to what he has to say, and to share with him what we have learned on the human pilgrimage. As a member of the Christian community, I cannot do this without telling him, whatever his religious affiliation may be, whatever his faith may be, I cannot do this. I cannot fully participate in dialogue of this depth and meaning with him without trying to tell him what I know about Jesus Christ, speaking gratefully because my faith is a gift of God, and humbly because my knowledge is fragmentary and limited. If pride and arrogance are excluded, the witness of a man who wants all men to know Jesus Christ, to love him and to follow him, does not contradict the essential nature of dialogue, but enriches the reasoning process and directs it toward the highest level of understanding and commitment. In the Book of Common Prayer, there is a petition to God that ministers may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth his true and lively word. The meaning of this phrase, true and lively word, is discoverable in the thought and language of 16th century England, where the word true meant authentic and trustworthy, and the word lively meant alive and life-giving. The message of the Bible about God as revealed in Jesus Christ is true, authentic, and trustworthy. It gives life and power to our minds and hearts as we face honestly the issues confronting the human mind and the human family at this moment. In the presence of Almighty God, let us give thanks for the priceless privilege of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Let us pray. We commit to thee, O God, all members of this community of faith and of learning, those present and those absent. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hands and work through them. In the spirit of thy Son, who loved us and gave himself for us.